First lesson for the second Sunday after Pentecost is from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your mate or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. Second lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around them in anger, and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I greet you today in the restful name of Jesus this morning. There was a country preacher, and he got fired up in his sermon one day. And he said, "Our church needs to get back to the basics. We need to become like a babe, and we need to get up on our hands and knees and crawl like we've never crawled before." Well, he paused a little bit, and out of the back of the room came this voice. And the voice said, "Let her crawl, preacher, let her crawl." Pastor continued, "Then we need to work on studying the Word and strengthening ourselves where we can stand in our faith." And out of the back came, "Let her stand, preacher, let her stand." Encouraged even more, the pastor continued. He said, this church then needs to take one step at a time, putting one foot in front of the other until we can walk with the way the Lord wants us to walk. And out of the back came, let her walk, preacher, let her walk. Well, spurred on by that response, the preacher continued. The church needs to then get into a stride where we can run for God. But it's going to take each and every one of us. Everybody in the church needs to join in. Each of us must make a commitment to tithe, to a commitment to study the Word daily, a commitment to pray daily. And, you know, as the church, we need a commitment to come together every time those church doors are open. It's only then can we run for the Lord. There was silence. And in the back of the room came this weak voice. Let her crawl, preacher, let her crawl. Sometimes we have a little bit more commitment than other times, don't we? Well, today's lesson is about the Sabbath, the day of rest that God had determined for us to have. Now, the word Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word that means to completely cease. The Sabbath had been traditionally observed on the seventh day of the week, of what we humans called our week, which normally would be Saturday. However, since Jesus came, and since his ministry was fulfilled on this earth, many Christian churches changed the day of the Sabbath to be Sunday. Why Sunday? Because that's the day that we recognize that Jesus rose from the dead. Well, regardless of when it's observed, we honor the command of God to include a day of rest in our week. Now, that command came as the third commandment that we see in our first lesson today from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work. Of course, over the hundreds of years since that commandment has been given by God, the religious authorities refined what God meant by work. And as you can imagine, it became very complicated and very minute in detail. There's a Jewish book, a rule book of sorts. It's called the Talmud. And in it, it has a lot of ceremonial observances that the Jewish people had to follow. The idea for the Sabbath was to completely cease all work so that people could rest and worship God. The Sabbath was a day of worship, a day of recuperation, of relaxation and joy. But over time, those rules of what could be done became more and more burdensome and more oppressive. And I'll give you some examples. There's thousands of these in there, but I'll just give you a few examples. If you traveled on the Sabbath, you could only travel 1,999 steps. If you traveled 2,000 steps, you violated the Sabbath. You couldn't carry anything that weighed more than a dry fig. How many of you know how much a dry fig weighs? Neither do I. Okay? If you throw something in the air and you catch it with another hand, you violated the Sabbath. If you throw something in the air and catch it with the same hand, you're okay. You didn't violate the Sabbath. A tailor could not carry a needle on the Sabbath, even if it was remained in his pocket and he didn't do anything with it. He couldn't carry a needle. A scribe couldn't carry a pen on the Sabbath. If a candle was lit before the Sabbath, you couldn't blow it out on the Sabbath. If a candle was not lit before the Sabbath, you couldn't light it on the Sabbath. Chairs could not be moved. A woman could not wear jewelry because it may weigh more than a dry fig. And on and on and on. You know, by the time Jesus came, the whole system was just brutally unkind and unscriptural, and quite frankly, it was ungodly. This clearly was not what God intended by the commandment. Now, there's other examples, but in our lesson today, in our gospel lesson, we see two more examples. This is from Mark chapter 2. And in the first one, we see Jesus and his disciples going through a grain field. Now, they were hungry. And so they took some of the heads of the grain and they crushed it in their hands so they could eat the kernels. Well, the religious authorities, the keepers of the law, the Pharisees, were watching what they were doing. And they got upset with Jesus that he was flaunting the law. Even though they knew, and Jesus knew, that in Deuteronomy, later on, chapter 23, it said, if you enter your neighbor's grain field, you may pick kernels with your hands. But you must not put a sickle to the entire field. Well, that made sense. I mean, if you're hungry, you could get grain from the field to feed yourselves. You just can't harvest his entire field. Makes sense, right? But, you know, notice that it didn't say that you couldn't do that on the Sabbath. Okay? But to the Pharisees, this was all forbidden work. Because if you roll the grain in your hand to get the husk off so that you could eat the kernel, that was called sifting or threshing. If you threw away the chaff as you were finished with it, the husk, that was called winnowing. All of it was work that the Talmud said was forbidden. That's the absurdity of what was going on in Jesus' time. And quite frankly, Jesus became angry about it. In our second example today from our gospel lesson, Jesus was in the synagogue, and it was on the Sabbath, and there was a man with a shriveled hand, and he healed that man. Now, according to the Pharisees, you could do nothing on the Sabbath. Even if you were starving, even if you see somebody in need, you couldn't do any work to help them. Well, Jesus was having none of that absurdity. So when it came to the healing of the man with the shriveled hand, it says, then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? Well, they weren't about to answer them because they had no answer. And so he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. And he told the man, stretch out your hand. And the man did, and it was completely healed. Of course, that really ticked off the Pharisees, and they went after him to try to find a way to kill him. But I think that really what ticked them off was what happened a few verses before in chapter 2, verse 27. Because he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What was Jesus saying here? He was saying the Sabbath, the day of rest, was commanded by God for us, for our well-being, to give us a day of restoration, to give us a day of recuperation and joy, to give us a specific day where work wouldn't interfere so that we could be with our God, we could worship Him, we could say thank you to Him as God intended us to do. Jesus was telling them that their rules and their laws were not what God intended when He handed down those God-written stone tablets to Moses. But as usual, when you leave it up to sinful man to expand on something, they mess it up. Now, the most interesting thing, I think, that He said to them was the very next verse, verse 28. Because I'm sure that the Pharisees were at least thinking this while Jesus was talking to them. They were thinking, what right does this Jesus have to tell us, the keepers of the law, what God's intentions were? And so Jesus told them, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, what was Jesus saying? He called himself the Son of Man. And he said that he is Lord even of the Sabbath. Well, now, wait a minute. If he is Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of the Sabbath is the one who made the commandment in the first place, right? Therefore, he was saying that he was God who handed those tablets down to Moses. In other words, he was saying he's part of the triune God. He was telling them, you don't get to set the standards. I was there when everything was created. I rested on that seventh day. I created the commandments. I'm the one who interprets them. So if you want to know what the intent of the Sabbath is, look to Jesus. Now some might say, you know, they read this encounter with the Pharisees and Jesus, and they would say, well, you know, Jesus is in effect doing away with the commandment to observe this day of rest. No, that is not a correct interpretation. Jesus was reinstituting the commandment. You remember when Jesus said in Matthew 11, he said, come to me, you all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So here's the good news, folks. Jesus has now become our rest. Rest from the burden of sin that weighs us down and takes away our future. Rest from the burdens of laws and rules that get in the way of our time with Him. And His work continues, even on the Sabbath. What Jesus showed them, that He was committed to actually doing work on the Sabbath, work that was spiritual in nature, because He healed people to show His divinity. He continued to work to bring faith to the lost. He continued to look after the needs of the people. Redemption is the focus of keeping the Sabbath commandment. Redemption through Jesus. Now, if we look at a similar incident in John chapter 5, when Jesus healed a lame man at the Bethesda pool. Verse 16 says, so because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. Jesus was saying, I'm not violating the Sabbath commandment because I'm doing the work I've seen my Father in heaven do. I'm helping others and bringing people to believe in me as the Messiah. That's the work that He does. And that's the work that we should be doing. And so how does all of this interact with us today? Well, we can clearly see that Jesus didn't consider the day of rest to be just a day where we veg out in front of a TV or somewhere else, right? And I would add that He didn't consider a day when all we think about is what pleases us, right? Yes, God did create this day for us. And when we look at the gospel lesson, we can see that we went too far in one direction, where it became oppressive and restrictive and burdensome. You know, the whole system was out of kilter, you know, regarding the Sabbath. Jesus freed us from that. But now it seems to me the pendulum has swung the other way. Today it seems to me that we have the opposite problem. It seems to me that way too many people have little or no regard for the Sabbath as a day of rest that was set aside by God for our spiritual well-being. To me it seems like of all the commandments, This commandment is the least of all of them to many people today. It's a commandment that maybe I'll keep, or maybe I won't. You know? Church. Yeah, that's the place we go when we have nothing better to do. And we always have something better to do. Honoring the day, giving thanks to God, worshiping Him, I don't think that's required anymore. Doing His work today, you know, bringing the message of salvation to people that are lost, don't ask me, I'm resting. Doing what pleases me, now you're talking. Any of that sound familiar? Sunday should be a day when we remember the gracious acts of God to benefit us and then respond to Him with our grateful hearts. Sunday should be a day when we're pleased to gather together with other believers so that we can sing praises to Him, so that we can give Him thanks together. Sunday should be a time when we look forward to receiving His Word, to receiving His guidance and His instruction, to receiving His body and His blood. Jesus was saying that the purpose is to give us rest, but not to be so restrictive that it becomes a burden to follow. Sunday is a day where we can fulfill what God intended for us. And what was that? Well, in John chapter 6, Jesus was asked by those who were kind of chasing Him around Capernaum. And they said, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one that He sent." And so Sunday is a day where we reinforce our belief in the one who was sent, Jesus. Sunday is a day we worship Him, a day we praise Him, a day when we receive His spiritual food and we receive His spiritual word to have our faith grow. We receive encouragement from fellow believers. We receive a refilling of the Holy Spirit. You can't do all of that on a putting green or on a beach somewhere. The Sabbath or Sunday is a day God intended for us to give us genuine rest within which we have time to think and we have time to reflect on our spiritual lives by communing with God, communing with our fellow believers. A day to give Him thanks for the blessings that He's given us in our lives. A day to learn from His Word given to us. A day to receive His gifts of sacraments. A day to do the work that He's given us to do. His work. Friends, to not honor the Sabbath is to not keep His commandment. I mean, God created everything for us, right? He gave us laws to guide us for our benefit, didn't He? He sent Jesus for us, didn't He? Jesus died for us, right? He sent His Holy Spirit to live with us, to guide us, to be with us, right? Can't we at least give Him part of our day, part of our week? Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. Amen.